As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Oh, yes, again, folks. Once again, the sun is rising over Missouri, and it's time for a Show Me Showdown. We got breakfast on the table, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's a revolution in the air. Be a part of it. Welcome to the Monday, March the 30th, 2009, two-hour broadcast to Become Vocal Local, coming to Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. That's oraclebroadcasting.com. We're on the web at vocallocal.org, ozarksvoter.info, and elsewhere. My name is William Roberts, and I've got good news, hard facts, and workable solutions for you once again today. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, then you're definitely in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. I like to think of this as the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. An interactive talk radio is the name of today, the game. And so to be a part of today's broadcast, there are several ways you can do that. Sign in, pick a name, and become vocal local in the oraclebroadcasting.com chat room. Pick up the telephone and call in. For those with unlimited long distance or in the Austin, Texas area, you can call 512-904-8014 to join me live on air. And from around America and around the world, you can call in toll free at 866-841-1065, and your calls are welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at host@vocallocal.org. What a busy, busy weekend I've had. Received many, many emails over the weekend. Hope you that I answered your questions properly and that you got the information that you were looking for. If not, send me another reply, and we'll go into it in a greater extent. But many emails came in over the weekend. Very interesting questions. Lots of interesting news, too. Some of that I'll share with you today. But once again, you can also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email, like so many have done, at host@vocallocal.org. That's host@vocallocal.org. That's vocallocal.org. And for those without internet access, listening via any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Simply send your letters to me at William Roberts, P.O. Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. Again, that's Box 96, Exeter. It's spelled E-X-E-T-E-R. Missouri, the big mo to me, 65647, and those websites are vocallocal.org and ozarksvoter.info. The listener call-in number remains 866-841-1065, and your calls are welcome throughout the broadcast, and the Oracle chat room is open, waiting for you. Gold nailed in early trading after a very calm weekend, trading in the $920 range. But I noticed that just before the broadcast, gold regained its ground and back into that area. So there was a bit of profit taking, some very interesting activity on the gold market this morning. The G20 meeting in London, we're going to go there. Hysteria, hyperbole, and hope. We'll talk about that. Inflation, the super financial disease. We'll go back to the Rose and Friedman, Martin Friedman's book, The Free to Choose. We'll look at inflation, talk about that. If we have time, we'll go into commercial banking, commercial paper, and go there as well today. Lots of news and things to discuss. Let's go into those market reports for Monday, March the 30th, 2009. Active trading in New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Gold was trading off $9.40 to $913.70. Silver was down 28 cents at $13.06 for a troy ounce. Platinum, an unusual number, off $13, trading at 1111. 1111.0. Anyway, interesting number. Palladium, off $5, trading at $212. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed on Friday at 7,776.18 points, which was off 148.38 points. The NASDAQ was trading at 1545.20. Also down. We'll pick it up on the other side. Stay with us right here on Become Vocal Local.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, "Information is the currency of democracy." Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monkey is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we are back once again. I can just barely hear the bumps and the breaks, so let me know if you all can hear them out there in the chat room. It would be appreciated. Anyway, back into our market reports. Let's pick it up where we left it off one more time. And welcome to those that have just joined us to the Monday, March the 30th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. My name is William Roberts. Back into those market reports and pick them up one more time. The gold was off $9.40, as I said earlier, trading at $913.70. And as I mentioned in the previous segment, there was quite an interesting little spike down and a bit of buying and selling, and then a spike back up again during this morning's trading. So it was unusual, looks like some kind of a profit taking that was going on, and then a sell back and coming back into the market. Very unusual little shaped thing, like a big U, if you will, with a very flat bottom. interesting developments watching that. Back down into the markets again, the Dow Jones closed on Friday at 7,776.18. That was off 148.38 points on the day. The NASDAQ 1545.20 off 41.80. The USDX, the dollar index, up 31 basis points, trading at 85.63. Crude oil off $1.90, $50.48. The low and the high in the markets, again, kind of rather unusual stuff, activity going on there. The low dropped all the way down to $907. The high so far on the morning was $928. So we're looking at about a $21 spread there. But like I said, all that has come back. It's been recovered in the last few minutes. The old year-to-year is off $17.70. So if you were to go back in the charts and look 1 year ago today, March 30th, 2008, we would have been about $17 higher. So it's not a lot of change. But overall, it's about a down about 1.85 or almost 2% year to year. But again, that is in itself a little bit deceiving in that the market is so volatile that it doesn't reflect necessarily your gains or your losses in the gold market, largely because you're not going to touch any gold products at this spot price anytime soon. The market's going to close in 7 hours. In the foreign exchange rates, the Canadian dollar today running about 80 cents U.S., Mexican peso still hanging in there about 7 cents, the euro up a bit at $1.32, British pound up a bit at $1.42. So if you want to get involved in that, if you're going to go over to England, go to the G20 meeting, you can pack your pockets with euros for $1.32 U.S. and British pounds at $1.42 in the off the Reuters newswire. There's a lot of talk about what's going to, you know, what's coming down, what's on the agenda for G20. A lot of it's speculation. Some of it may be accurate. Some of it, I think, is newsworthy. Some of it isn't. But let's go into this article here. This was posted this morning, Monday, the 30th of March, 2009, off Reuters. Pulled it down early. The G20 leaders are expected to discuss using proceeds from planned gold sales by the IMF to double funding available for poor countries. Now, we heard this last time around. Are they going to do it? I don't know. Will they do it? I don't know. We'll have to see what happens. But nevertheless, there's talk about IMF selling their gold to finance or fund poor countries' programs and lending. The source said that there was not unanimous support for the idea, including within the IMF, because the IMF's low interest lending to poor countries does not generate enough return to fund further lending. So borrowing, taking good gold and, what do they say, let good money go after bad or something like that, taking your gold and selling it into the open market and then turning around and making loans to some of these developing countries, these little dictators and potentates, doesn't seem to get a good enough return on their investment to warrant doing it. So we'll see whether or not anything happens there. Regardless of any possible gold sales, the IMF managing director, Dominique Strauss-Kahn, has already asked the G20 group of the world's 20 biggest economies. In the last week, we went over those countries that we anticipate being there and being represented, plus the other finance ministers. But nevertheless, Strauss-Kahn asked the G20 group of the world's 20 biggest economies. We know that's not quite the case. They have in the G20 some of the largest, but also some of the others, the developing countries in there too in that list, to provide additional funding to double resources for IMF low-income programs. So we see it's just a continuation of the redistribution of wealth schemes that they've been working on for decades. According to a draft G20 communique obtained by the Financial Times, the IMF will be asked to bring forward by the spring meetings proposals to use the proceeds of agreed gold sales to support low-income countries, blah, 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 blah. The IMF last year, and this is important, approved the sale of 403 tons from its stocks of 3,217 tons, or 103.4 million ounces, as part of a plan to put its finances on a sounder footing and create an endowment with the proceeds. Now, I don't know whether any of you picked up on which endowment was created. I do recall hearing talk or discussion of this 403-ton gold sale, but where did that go? Who got it? What hands are holding it now? Remember, we've been following this SPDR Gold Trust and the others, and if you look at the IMF's stock of gold, they're holding 3,217-ton. But if you look at the SPDR Gold Trust, you can see that SPDR in itself is holding at least half of that quantity equal to half of the IMF sales. So it's just six of one, half a dozen of the other. Who's the big beast here? Who's playing the real deal? The IMF has to go through a lot to buy and sell gold this morning on the market. Some of them came in, made a tremendous sale, turned right around, made a buy, and we had almost a $20 swing for a period of about 2 hours in the gold market. Other hands are in the business, so to speak. Other hands are in the market, and they're moving and grooving without a lot of authorization. Back to the article here briefly. It says, selling IMF gold requires ratification by the legislatures of member countries, including the U.S. Congress, a process which is expected to take at least several months. So you can see there's a disparagence between the ETFs, to which can move and groove in large quantities quickly, as opposed to things that the IMF does that requires a lot of nodding and winking and sandstorm Arabs and that sort of stuff. The IMF has therefore emphasized that plans to sell gold are not part of proposals for near-term financing needs associated with the current global financial crisis. More on that later, I'm sure. The IMF has repeatedly said that any gold sales would be made under the umbrella of central bank gold agreement to avoid any disruption in the markets. So much for that news report. Let's jump over to Moscow. Again, we're looking at this G20. Everybody's talking about it, so we might as well also. Russia wants the ruble, the yuan, and the gold in the SDR basket. Now, we talked about the special drawing rights before when we talked about the International Monetary Fund, the creation thereof, the Bank for International Settlements, etc., the idea of SDRs. Curious how it looks so much the same as SPDR, doesn't it? These SDRs, there's nothing really new about this. This basket of currency idea has been with us since the beginning of the International Monetary Fund. Nevertheless, from Moscow, March 28th, Reuters. Again, Reuters. Boy, that's, you might as well just get it out of the out basket at the Rothschild City of London. Russia supports expanding the IMF's special drawing rights to include the ruble, the yuan, and gold, but sees no chance of the G20 summit accepting a new reserve currency. So for the lot of... We've got a break coming up. We'll pick it up on the other side. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
Learn how to empower yourself and stop being a victim today.
You can practice complete banking secrecy, all while protecting your money and maintaining complete control over your finances.
The book Privacy Crisis has nearly 400 carefully researched pages that will teach you how to
live beneath the radar, escape stalkers, outwit identity thieves, prevent government phone tapping, stop criminals from hacking into your computer, make your money and assets invisible, stop wage garnishment, get a permanent driver's license, and much, much more.
You can sign up for Grant Hall's free info series at privacycrisis.com. Each course outlines powerful and proven strategies from one of the world's top privacy experts.
Here's your chance to begin learning what the pros know at privacycrisis.com. That website again is privacycrisis.com.
Hi folks, Doug Owen here for TexasTeamSpeak.com, one of the world's largest authorized TeamSpeak host providers on the net. TeamSpeak is a voice over IP teleconferencing solution that consists of both client and server side software. The TeamSpeak server acts as a host to multiple client connections capable of handling literally thousands of simultaneous users and works in a variety of applications, such as teammates speaking with one another while playing their favorite online video game, small businesses cutting costs on long distance charges, or for personal communication with friends and family. With TeamSpeak, you can easily stay connected with your fellow group members or start a special group to invite others to join. Whether you seek a private communication medium or would prefer to host a server open to the public, TeamSpeak is an ideal solution to help communicate your interests with others online. When a word is worth 1,000 keystrokes, use TexasTeamSpeak.com.
And we have returned once again right here on Become Vocal Local. Question from the chat room. Do I think that silver would be a good investment at the $13.06 range? I do. I think silver is a good investment any day of the week. I think that it's going to go quite a bit higher than where it's at right now. So it's just a matter of your financial basket, if you will, your basket of currency. If you're carrying it around an empty basket and all you've got is a couple of eggs in there, I'd suggest, you know, other things. But certainly at $13 an ounce, if you can find one, if you can find silver in that price range, which I don't really think you're going to be successful at, you're going to have to go higher than that. But if you can get a roll of silver eagles someplace, or if you can get into some of the old Walking Liberties, something like that, you might have, you'd have some silver in your possession. And again, it's whatever suits you. I don't advise on gold or silver. I'm a gold and silver nut. I've been following it for a long time. But as far as for your own uses, it's just a matter of what you've got on hand and where you're sitting financially as to what you want to do with it. As any investment, anything that's outside of your possession is very risky. I think that gold and silver in possession, just like lead, like tobacco, like firearms, like a lot of things that you can actually turn around and either sell or barter or trade with, those are all good things to have on hand at this time period. And God only knows your dollars sitting in the bank are losing value so fast that it's a wonder even why we keep anything in a bank. And as far as keeping money in a bank is concerned, you might look at the next 2 months or 3 months, figure out how much money it costs or to pay your nut or the amount of money it costs for your mortgage or your rent, your property tax percentage or your food and things like that, and keep a couple, 2 or 3 months worth of cash in the bank for that purpose or in an envelope someplace, you know, hidden in your sock drawers, I like to say, so that you've got some cash on hand. But the rest of it, you know, if you're still in cash, I think you're only kidding yourself. I have not seen any value in cash lately, but that's my opinion. You can do whatever you like. Back to this article again. Again, Russia is supporting this idea of putting the ruble and the yuan and gold into this special drawing rights basket, and so that should kind of, you know, make a question mark. Because, you know, the IMF, both China and Russia have been involved since the beginning. Their currencies are part of it. Gold has been part of it from the beginning. So what are we going to come up with this special drawing rights basket? Well, if they're going to come up with something new, well, then certainly the Russian ruble, the Chinese yuan, China and Russia are big players in the market. Why shouldn't they, you know, have some representation in that basket of currencies? I think that's only a fair request. He says it would be logical, here back to this Reuters article, be logical for the set of currencies that make up the SDR to be expanded, and it could include other currencies, of course, including the ruble, the yuan, and perhaps others, said RIA news agency reporting that the Kremlin senior economic aide Arkady Dvorkovich said, as saying, China this week caused a stir ahead of the April the 2nd, that will be Thursday, by the way. So you might be watching your various news sources or CNN or wherever you go. I don't know. I don't have a television, so I can't advise you on TV. But your various news sources and anybody that's over across the pond there that can hang around this Cannery Row or go to the Cannery Wharf or go to the City of London and keep track of what's going on there, we sure like to hear a report back after this thing goes down, see what's happening. Could be some resistance, and we're going to go into an article on that in just a moment. But nevertheless, going back to this article, it suggested that the world moved toward greater use of international monetary funds drawing rights created by the IMF in 1969 as an international reserve asset. Yeah, okay, I'll give it to them. If they say that they created it in 1969, that's fine. But in our 1951 encyclopedia article, we can see that these SDRs were part of the original system from the beginning, from the outset. Dvorkovich, or whatever his name is, Dvorkovich, said he sees no chance of the G20 accepting a new reserve currency next month. Now, that's important because over the weekend I got several questions from listeners. Are we going to have, you know, a new currency come out of this G20 meeting? I didn't think so. Others don't think so. We'll see. I doubt it. I think they're going to do everything that they can do to do damage control, but, you know, who am I to say? Here's continuing on that. We could also think about more effective use of gold and gold and Forex reserves in this system. Dvorgic, or whatever you say, kind of a Russian name, kind of lots of consonants, very few vowels. Nevertheless, the RIA reported. For its part, he added, Russia would support the broad use of the ruble and the yuan as reserve currencies, blah, blah, blah. So there's that. Here's another one. This again, now this one is out of a different source. Don't see it here listed. It's Reuters. Yeah, Mumbai. Going back to India again, you know, we've been talking about this over and over again, how the India is a major player in the gold market and that they're not happy. They're not buying gold. They don't like these prices. The jewelry markets and any place where they're in the jewelry business, they're in the value-added gold industry. And so the higher the price of gold goes, the less profit margin they can reasonably expect people, you know, to actually receive, because people are reluctant to buy gold jewelry and trinket items like that, decorations, personal ornaments, at very, very high prices. So it's to their advantage as a lobby group or as a pressure group or as an interest group, and there's a large, you know, there's a large holding here that's to their advantage to see the price of gold decline. They're doing value-added marketing, so it's okay for them. They can get back the money that they've got invested in the gold part of it, but they want to get a higher return on their investment for the handiwork that goes with it. The artistic value, if you will. And so then there's more room in all of that for commissions and for marketing and for distribution and so on. But out of Mumbai, Reuters, India's gold demand remained weak on Monday as buyers stayed on the sidelines, anticipating falls, traders said. So do they have an inside straight here? are they anticipating gold going down appreciably over the next 30 to 60 days? Hard to say. Very hard to say. Certain analysts out there on the web and on radio, you know, they're talking maybe the $880 range for a period of time to allow some people to have sold off their gold scrap and come back in at a lower amount. Let's go into the article a little bit further here. They say the benchmark April contract was 0.62% higher after hitting a high, blah, blah, blah. This is all expressed in rupees. I'm not going to bore you with that. All want a huge correction to $880 an ounce, said Haresh Akari. Well, who knows? You'd have to wear some kind of special clothing to pronounce that name, and I don't have that clothing on. The head of the bullion desk was Parker Agrochem in Ahmedabad, something like that. There could be some demand if there was a fall to the 15,000 rupee market. So anyway, there's that. We're looking at what's happening in the jewelry sector in an article like that and realizing that as a strong lobby, they're pushing for lower gold prices, whereas some people are trying to secure and protect their savings and assets, and they're looking at gold at a higher level. We'll see where it goes. The market will put it where it needs to be. Gold and silver are durable in that regard. Here's another one. This one, there's been some talk about this, but let's go into it. Leading advisors warning to the ministers, the problem is not the bankers, it's society. Rather interesting. This is going to bring in a little bit of sustainable development and whatnot in with our idea of economy and kind of serve as a second witness as to why we talk about economy and sustainable development and Agenda 21 and the United Nations and politics all on one broadcast. But here we go. This is by Rob Edwards, who is the environmental editor out of the Sunday Herald, Scotland's leading independent newspaper, as of March the 30th, 2009. The G20, a plea for change. The economic system is broken. Again, this is written by Rob Edwards. He's an environmental editor. Listen real carefully to the wording in this article. The environmental system is broken, and attempts by governments to fix it by kickstarting growth and consumerism are delusional, quote-unquote, and pathological, quote-unquote. The Westminster and Holyrood governments will be warned. We'll be picking up on the other side.
You are now listening to Oracle Broadcasting, the home of Cutting Edge Talk Radio.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monkey is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we have returned right here on Become Vocal Local, and the call-in number once again is 866-841-1065. I hope the signal is going out all right to you. I'm getting a very low feed in my ear here. But we'll just continue. All of my recording equipment and everything showing me a good clean signal in the studio. Hopefully it's going out well over the air. Okay, back into the article again. This is once more an environmental editor, a man named Rob Edwards, and this is a very skewed kind of an article, so you have to listen carefully to it. This is interesting stuff. It was sent to me by a listener over the weekend. I appreciate receiving these kinds of articles. They're right up my alley. A groundbreaking report by the leading environmental advisors to the First Minister Alex Salmond and Prime Minister Gordon will deliver a damning verdict on capitalism and demand a radical shift to a fairer, more sustainable society. Key words there, lots of key words there. This idea of damning capitalism and radical shifts and demand to a more sustainable society. This is the kind of stuff that one would expect coming out of a consultancy such as the Tavistock Institute, and certainly these people are not far removed. Let's continue. The report is being compiled by the Sustainable Development Commission, the SDC, a group of 19 experts chaired by Jonathan Porritt, P-O-R-R-I-T-T, which advises Salmond and Brown on environmental issues, and their report is entitled Prosperity Without Growth? And it's to be published tomorrow. That would probably be either today or tomorrow. So I'll be looking for this report to be published, Prosperity Without Growth. the pursuit of economic growth founded on the increasing consumption of material goods has failed to bring social justice, prosperity, or happiness, the report says. Now, you know, on this broadcast every day, I talk about I say this statement, if you can't remember you experienced the last time or you experienced the pursuit of happiness, then you're in the right place at the right time, so on and so forth. But I focus on this pursuit of happiness thing because it's quite instrumental to what's going on, coming on us and at us, especially as we look at sustainable development and other things. This pursuit of happiness has transmorphed into something very unusual, and it has hundreds of years of backing on it. But we look at this happiness principle, the greatest good of the greatest number, and we also need to understand what social justice is. Social justice. These are all these catchphrases right out of the sustainable development, the sustainable mercenaries meta-language for the 21st century. The pursuit of economic growth founded on the increasing consumption of material goods has failed to bring social justice, prosperity, or happiness, the report says. But of course, when you go back and look at Sustainable Development Agenda 21, you can see that as I've said numerous times, that you could, if you were to just sum it all up and resolve it down to one word, that word would be demand. In order to sustain growth, to sustain the environmental and developmental concerns, there needs to be an increase in continuous demand. And demand, of course, is going to require consumption. But they're looking at different kinds of consumption here in this article. Let us proceed to proceed. The narrow pursuit of growth represents a horrible distortion of the common good and of underlying human values. Here we go right back. Horrible distortion of the common good. This is the greatest good of the greatest number principle. This is textbook stuff. This goes back to Jeremy Bentham and James Mill and John Stuart Mill and Francis Hutcheson and others, Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson. They all are aware of these various and sundry directions. Very interesting to see it coming out in writing. The report concludes, the market was not undone by rogue individuals or the turning of a blind eye by incompetent regulators. It was undone by growth itself. Growth itself. Undone by growth itself. Is there any truth in any of this? And why would this Sustainable Development Commission be condemning growth when it is that it is the warp and the woof of the fabric of Agenda 21? Economic development, my friend. So there's something going on in here. The report presents a fundamental challenge to the economic policies being pursued in London and Edinburgh, raising questions about some of the basic tenets of modern capitalism. Of course, right out of the Agenda 21, the Orange Book, the 200-plus, almost 300-page document, they talk about it's not about having more in the 21st century. It's going to be about being more. So this idea of the haves and the have-nots, you know, we have to eliminate the haves and redistribute the wealth to the have-nots. But unfortunately, there's always going to be this 10 or maybe 15% at the top of the haves who are just going to have more and everyone else will have less as we all come down to the level of Bolivian peasants, basically. But anyway, he says we're living in an age of irresponsibility. And that is largely true. We are living in an age of irresponsibility, as Alan Keyes has recently said. We have insane children and adolescents running the government, or as others have said, the inmates are running the asylum. Here we go, another quote from these fellows, these Brits over there. Questioning growth is deemed to be the act of lunatics, idealists, and revolutionaries. But question it we must, says Tim Jackson, a professor at Surrey University and the SDC's leading economics expert. Here's a leading economic expert that is questioning growth. Questioning growth. He says, the myth of growth has failed us. It has failed spectacularly in its own terms to provide economic stability and secure people's livelihoods. The myth of growth, he says. According to the report, inequality is higher in industrial nations than it was 20 years ago. The rich have got richer, but the poor have remained poor, with wealth only trickling to a lucky few. But once again, conveniently, he doesn't define his terms. They're talking about inequality, but as we've spent a couple of days last week talking about Milton and Rose Friedman's analysis of equality, where we find and understand from an economic standpoint the great disparagence between equality or of opportunities as opposed to equality of outcomes. And certainly here, these SDCs, this Sustainable Development Commission, are wringing their handkerchief looking for greater equality of outcome as opposed to equality of opportunity. So they're asking for more of the same sickness, I suppose. I don't know. We'll see. The environmental consequences have been disastrous, the SDC says. Is that true? Is that true? Is the world environment worse today than it was 50 years ago or 100 years ago? Many things have changed. The Great Lakes are far cleaner today than they were 50 or 100 years ago. We still have the great floating sea of plastic soup, and that certainly should cause everyone to be concerned, but there doesn't seem to be any reduction in the generation of this plastic that goes to the plastic soup. Nevertheless, that's another discussion for another day. The economy, he says here, well, I should jump up. The environmental consequences have been disastrous, the SDC says. In the last 25 years, the global economy has doubled, leaving 60% of the world's natural ecosystems degraded and threatening catastrophic climate change. Catastrophic climate change. This guy should stop eating the Cheerios and drinking the milk, I think. Nevertheless, catastrophic climate change. There's a lot happening in here. We're going to report on some more of that in a moment. But I think that he's basically blowing smoke here in advance of this G20 meeting. I think we're going to see a lot more of the sustainable development material coming on us and at us over this next few years. The economy, again, he says, is fundamentally broken, and who can argue with that, argues Jackson. A return to business as usual is not an option. There's truth in that. Prosperity for the few founded on ecological destruction and persistent social injustice is no foundation for a civilized society. Again, there's a lot of phraseology in here. If he really wanted to address some problems, he would be talking about social justice. And he would be discussing equality of outcome as a failed sociological directive. But he's not. He's not addressing that at all. He goes back to the environment question over and over again. A society founded on the relentless pursuit of novelty undermines social well-being. He must have been listening to these broadcasts. I've been talking about all of this cheap plastic crap for a while, years, as a matter of fact. And I'd have to agree with him 100% on that one. A society founded on the relentless pursuit of novelty, all the cheap plastic crap, cheap communist Red Army products. And it does undermine social well-being in many ways. But here's another quote. The economy itself is dependent on consumption growth for its very survival. Well, what's new, Bubba? We've been eating for a long time. The report says, market economics have to be questioned and consumerism has to be reversed. He said, I guess we'll just stop consuming. I've done that. Have you? We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
Hey, Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
And we are back once again. So let's go in a little deeper into this article here. Again, there we're reading from an article by Rob Edwards, the environmental editor. This is an advance of the G20. It's a plea for change. Change. A plea for change. Change. Seems like it's infected the world, doesn't it? A society founded again on the relentless pursuit of novelty undermines the social well-being. The economy itself is dependent on consumption growth for its very survival. So, once again, this condemnation is really coming right out of the foreword written by Maurice Strong of Agenda 21, the book, the plan, out of 1992 Earth Summit, Rio de Janeiro. He was the Secretary General of that conference, if you will. But nevertheless, continuing, market economics have to be questioned and consumerism has to be reversed, the report urges. It recommends 12 steps to a sustainable economy. Well, let's just put it this way. When we withhold our support of the economic system, it is a form of protest, if you will, complaining, and doing what we can do from a local level on an individual basis, it has an adverse impact on economies locally as well as nationally and internationally. And this fellow, however, wants to run it up to another level. I guess he wants to pick the wave, but he doesn't understand the protest, apparently. But what would happen globally if consumption came to a zero? First of all, it's an impossibility. We're still going to need to eat, we're going to need to drink, we're going to need to be housed and clothed and all of that. And so consumption is not going to go to a zero, so it's an impossibility. Calling for it is ludicrous. But then it goes further and it starts to recommend, it makes recommendations. And God help us if these Brits and others that are at the G20 haven't got their thinking caps on. They might get sucked in by some very attractive language, but it recommends 12 steps to a sustainable economy, such as tackling inequality. Again, we have to ask, what are we talking about? Let us define our terms. They never do, you know, of course, but let us define our terms. What are we talking about in inequality? There are no two blades of grass. There are no two grains of sand. There's no two clouds floating in the air that are equal. Even though all things were created equal, they were created equal in opportunity, not equality of outcome. Much different. Anyway, continuing along here, he says, such as tackling inequality and changing work patterns. You better believe that. Changing work patterns. Agenda 21 looks for an expanded workforce by getting rid of those pesky things called machines. In other words, we'll all go back to handwork on the feudal plantation. That's the way that you can have total employment. It worked for building the pyramids if the hyperbole about building it with ramps and ropes and long lines of slaves was accurate. Let's go on to this a little further. And respecting ecological limits. Define for me, if you will, if you can, ecology. What is an ecological limit? Respecting ecological limits. What is ecology? Is it a science? Is it a belief system? Or is it a religion? Ask yourself those questions and try and find the answer. In Scotland, the SDC is urging ministers to invest in infrastructure that creates low-carbon communities. Listen up. This is the stuff basically that has been on hold or has been very quiet for some 8 years and now, as I've predicted, is going to go up full tilt boogie. Here's the quote. Rather than build more roads for cars, the government must make it easier to use rail and buses, cycle or walk, and dare I say rickshaw, and piggyback one another from point A to point B. Maybe we should return to ox carts. Wouldn't that be convenient? If the sustainable mercenaries had their way, we'll all just walk. But we won't walk far. We'll be living in compact cities from a distance that'll look like a stack of pancakes. Aunt Jemima, what took you so long? Let's get some syrup on that house of pancakes. And then we'll just go up and down on elevators and left and right and in and out on the circle on moving sidewalks. And it'll be perfectly sustainable. And lockdowns will occur 5 times a week. Coming and going from a compact city might prove to be a little difficult if you have no other transportation than moving sidewalks and elevators. Of course, the well-rounded American citizen, as they move from 250 to 550 pounds, perhaps they'll just take their chair with them and ride all over town. Jan Babington, the SDC's vice chair and accounting professor. So now we've heard from the ecologist and we've heard from the economist and now we're hearing from an accounting professor at St. Andrews University said, quote, the Scottish government must stop thinking the pursuit of economic growth, no matter how sustainable the growth is labeled, is going to make Scotland flourish almost as a matter of course. Of course, he doesn't seem to go much further than that. But the Scottish government stressed its purpose was, quote-unquote, sustainable economic growth. You see, if you can't put the word sustainable in there, if you can't throw in this adjective, then it's just not vogue. A spokesman added, quote, to suggest we stop trying to grow our economy when we can see the effects of the recession around Scotland is completely wrong. So it doesn't seem to be exactly flowing in unison here. Sustainability was a quote-unquote fundamental aspect of economic policy, he argued. That's why we have set our actions to create thousands of jobs in sustainable industries that harness Scotland's natural advantages. You see, so anticipating massive unemployment at this time period, we are now going to create thousands of jobs in sustainable industries. Like the Department of Homeland Security, like the TSA, like the local police department, like the Child Protective Services. None of these are in the productive sector. All of this, none of this has to do with the conversion of natural resources into goods and services that people can actually use that would actually create any true value. No, all of this is sustainable industry. Sustainable development. The Confederation of British Industry in Scotland also gave the report's findings a cool reception. The dismal picture portrayed by the SDC is not one we recognize, said CBI Scotland's David Lonsdale. Now there's somebody that needs a medal. But Green MSP Patrick, the Green Party, member of Parliament there, Green Patrick Harvey said, quote, we have long argued for a vision of the economy which puts human values above shareholder values. Are not shareholders human, sir? And I'm delighted that the SDC is saying the same thing. So, that out of the Sunday Herald, right out of Scotland, the Scotuslands, the Scots. Look at the way they're doing it on this continent. This is out of the Canada Free Press, an article about Obama. Bury the usurper's involvement in Chicago climate change, the rest of the story. This is an article off the Canada Free Press by Judy McLeod. I can see our time is rapidly waning, so we may not have time to go into it in detail. We'll pick it up on the other side. And for those of you that are not joining us in the second hour, I hope that you have a wonderful day. And remember, you can always access the archives for the rest of the story. Nevertheless, for those who go back and understand what the SDS is, the Students for a Democratic Society, and take it back even further than that, go back to the very beginnings, the intercollegiate things, all of this Fabian socialism that came creeping across the Atlantic back at the turn of the last century as we went from the late 1800s into the 1900s. The Obama administration is basically an outgrowth of all of that. You know, we marvel at Mark Twain and Ralph Waldo Emerson and, you know, all of the naval investigation that went on, you know, and all of his metaphysical pontifications. But all of that has manifested itself, if you will, metastasized itself in and around this Obama, Barry the Usurper's administration. You know, we've got green on steroids now, but we've also got green on steroids, but they're packing rifles. They've gone from straight-up environmentalists to environmental Nazis, the Enviro Police. And they infect your households. They infect your children's minds. Even your children now will become the little brown shirts for the Barry the Usurper Enviro crews as we go further and further into sustainable development. I don't know why people can't quite get it. There are a lot of things that we can occupy our time with and the spare time, history things and other things like that, but why can't we seem to get it? Why can't we wrap our mind around what's going down here? We're seeing a transformation on a global scale of our relationship, basically, with the earth. And it's going into a new form of fetishism, a worship of the earth on a large scale. Nevertheless, things that happened in the previous century, things that have happened in centuries past, all that is being swept aside. All of that is based upon logic or reason. And logic and reason are going out the door as the socialist mommy state, if you will, goes global and goes viral. We're going to go into an emotion-based economic system without any science to back it up. Folks, we'll be back right after this top of the hour intermission. Stay with us for the second hour.
Learn how to empower yourself and stop being a victim today.
You can practice complete banking secrecy, all while protecting your money and maintaining complete control over your finances.
The book Privacy Crisis has nearly 400 carefully researched pages that will teach you how to
live beneath the radar, escape stalkers, outwit identity thieves, prevent government phone tapping, stop criminals from hacking into your computer, make your money and assets invisible, stop wage garnishments, get a permanent driver's license, and much, much more.
You can sign up for Grant Hall's free info series at privacycrisis.com. Each course outlines powerful and proven strategies from one of the world's top privacy experts.
Here's your chance to begin learning what the pros know at privacycrisis.com. That website again is privacycrisis.com.
Hi folks, Doug Owen here for TexasTeamSpeak.com, one of the world's largest authorized TeamSpeak host providers on the net. TeamSpeak is a voice over IP teleconferencing solution that consists of both client and server-side software. The TeamSpeak server acts as a host to multiple client connections capable of handling literally thousands of simultaneous users and works in a variety of applications, such as teammates speaking with one another while playing their favorite online video game, small businesses cutting costs on long-distance charges, or for personal communication with friends and family. With TeamSpeak, you can easily stay connected with your fellow group members or start a special group to invite others to join. Whether you seek a private communication medium or would prefer to host a server open to the public, TeamSpeak is an ideal solution to help communicate your interests with others online. When a word is worth 1,000 keystrokes, use TexasTeamSpeak.com.
You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Long live the revolution.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to the Monday, March the 30th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local as we begin our second hour, coming to you Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. That's oraclebroadcasting.com, the home webpage, the official site of the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Log on and check it out today. We're also on the web at vocallocal.org and ozarksvoter.info, a couple of interesting sites that you might wish to visit. My name is William Roberts. And once again, I've got good news, hard facts, and workable solutions, although we're going to have to really get busy to implement any solutions in this time period, that's for sure. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game, and to be a part of today's broadcast, you can sign in, pick a name, and become vocal local in the OracleBroadcasting.com chat room. You can also pick up the telephone and call in. For those with unlimited long distance or in the Austin, Texas area, be a part of this talk radio broadcast at 512-904-8014 to join me live on air. Excuse me. Kind of got a frog that sleeps with me and gets in my throat sometimes. Hard to get out in the morning. Nevertheless, there is also an opportunity that if you're out and about and you're mobile, you can also dial in at 512-904-8014. I think there is an option where you can listen on a mobile phone. That way you can take us with you to work. And from around America and around the world, you can also call in at 866-841-1065, and your calls are welcome throughout the broadcast. You can also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email, as many have done, at host@vocallocal.org. That's VOCALLOCAL.ORG. And you can also send letters to me at Post Office Box 96 out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. If you missed any of that contact information, the archives will be up shortly after the broadcast. You can go back and check it there. In the beginning of the broadcast, we talked about the gold and silver markets, the commodities, and the other indices that we track on a daily basis, and we find that most everything is down today. And, of course, this is in anticipation of the G20. There's a lot of doubt, fear, and worry. Shall I say it again? Doubt, doubt, doubt. Fear, 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 and worry, worry, worry. Now that you've had your doubt, fear, and worry for today, we can go into more important news. Let's go back and look at this article. It's going to take a little while to go through it, about three-pager here. But this is Obama's involvement in the Chicago Climate Exchange. The rest of the story by Judy McLeod. Very interesting article. It starts out this way, and again, this is kind of written in a down-home interpersonal communication style, not so newsy, more kind of like a letter. Good news to know that the truth will always win out, she writes. Even when you're, she says, Barack Obama, I say Barry the usurper. Obama years ago helped fund carbon program. He is now pushing through Congress, quote unquote, is a Fox News story by Ed Barnes. So there's a hot link in the article there. You can go back and check it out. Maybe you can go up on Fox News, do a Google search or however, screw Google, Dogpile, or Web Ferret, and go, Obama years ago helped fund a carbon program. Maybe that would bring it up for you, bring you right up to Ed Barnes' story. In short, quote, while on the board of a Chicago-based charity, Barack Obama, also known as Barry Sartoro, and on this broadcast known as Barry the Usurper, helped fund a carbon trading exchange. Important, important. A Chicago-based charity, Barry the Usurper, helped to fund a carbon trading exchange that will likely play a critical role in the cap-and-trade carbon reduction program he is now trying to push through Congress as the usurper. They say president. I don't. The charity was the Joyce Foundation, on whose board of directors Obama served, and which gave nearly $1.1 million in two separate grants that were, quote-unquote, instrumental in developing and launching the privately owned Chicago Climate Exchange. Well, we'll pick it up on the other side for more interesting news. Stay tuned.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home for the pages of a book.
Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Howdy, my name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monkey is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we have returned right here on Become Vocal Local on the Monday, March 30th, 2009 broadcast, beginning the second hour. For those of you that are away at the top of the hour break there, that segment, sometimes the affiliates and micro-broadcasters have their own top of the hour news, but we just started talking about this article out of the Canada Free Press by Judy McLeod, Obama's involvement in the Chicago Climate Exchange. And we're going into the rest of the story, but we're seeing how Barry the Usurper was instrumental in getting this little enterprise underway, and now is in the process of pushing through legislation that will get the carbon credit scheme going much stronger here in North America. Let's go into it deeper. The charity was the Joyce Foundation again, on whose board of directors Barry the Usurper served, and which gave nearly $1.1 million in two separate grants that were quote-unquote instrumental in developing and launching the privately owned Chicago Climate Exchange. Now, that would be something you could Google up, I'm sure, which now calls itself North America's only cap-and-trade system for all six greenhouse gases, with global affiliates and projects worldwide. You can be sure that Prince Charles is just rubbing his little fingers on this one. You can almost be positive that that had much to do with Barry getting elected. And that's only the beginning of this tawdry tale, Mr. Barnes writes. He says, the privately owned Chicago Climate Exchange is heavily influenced by Obama cohorts Al Gore and Maurice Strong. Now, you know that Maurice Strong was the Secretary General of the 1992 Earth Summit in Rio, from which we get Agenda 21, Of course, Agenda 21 was in the developmental stages for decades prior to that. Nevertheless, we have Al Gore. Al, I invented the internet and global warming, Gore. And Maury Strong working hand in hand with Barry the Usurper. Isn't that curious? How did I know that this was going to come to pass? And so, nevertheless, so Al Gore is instrumental in this, and it was, even though Bush won, signed on to Agenda 21, 1992, out of the Earth Summit, it was Bill Clinton and Al Gore that really started it off and built the presidential decision directors and other things to get it happening. The Agenda 21, 2020 councils and all that sort of stuff came out of the Clinton administration, William Jefferson. It all depends on what is Clinton. Strong is, that's Maurice Strong, for years now, Strong and Gore have been cashing in on that lucrative cottage industry known as man-made global warming. So you always follow the money, and you realize that this specious junk science, easily disproved and made laughable by the science community, is a money-making machine for Gore and Strong and others, and they're cashing in on it as a lucrative cottage industry. Strong, that would be Maurice Strong, is on the board of directors of the Chicago Climate Exchange. And here now she goes into Wikipedia. Wikipedia described as the, quote, world's first and North America's only legally binding greenhouse gas emission registry reduction system for emission sources and offset projects in North America and Brazil. So obviously you can jump up and go to Chicago Climate Exchange at Wikipedia and find out more about that. Follow the links. I haven't done that yet, but I would imagine it's probably quite informative. Gore, he is the self-proclaimed patron saint of the environment. Again, this article is written by Judy McLeod. I kind of like her style, in the Canada Free Press, our good friends to the north. Writes this guy up as an independent. Let's see, I lost my place. Let me go back and see. Strong is the blah, 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 blah. Here he is. Gore, self-proclaimed patron saint of the environment, buys his carbon offsets from himself. Of course, he has the great energy-consuming mansions, right? The Generation Investment Management LLP. So this is what he buys it from himself, the Generation Investment Management LLP. That would be another little Google project. Quote unquote, which is an independent, private, owner-managed partnership established in 2004 with offices in London and Washington, D.C., of which he is both chairman and the founding partner, the Generation Investment Management LLP. Imagine he, no doubt that it's in London. Where else would you expect it to go? The Strong, Maurice Strong, the silent partner. So he's kind of laying in the background there, a background man. He's following the Joseph principle, if you will. Strong, the silent partner, is a man whose name often draws a blank on Washington cocktail circuits. Can you imagine anyone that has spent any time at all in Washington, D.C., the District of Corruption, that wouldn't know Maurice Strong's name upon hearing it? A man whose name often draws a blank on the Washington cocktail circuit? Judy, if that's true, it's amazing. Even though a former Secretary General of the 1992 United Nations Conference on Environment and Development, and then she says the much-hyped Rio Earth Summit. Dear, please read the books. And Under Secretary General of the United Nations in the days of an oil-for-food beleaguered Kofi Annan. The Canadian-born Strong is little known in the United States, little known perhaps among school children, but certainly in the independent media circles, Judy, Mr. Strong is well known. We've been talking Agenda 21 for almost a decade now, more strongly in the last couple of years than before. But we'll go into it a little further here. And if it is at all true, Judy, that Maurice Strong's name is not well known in this independent media circle, then I've failed in my task and I need to bring it out even stronger. Nevertheless, the nondescript Strong, nonetheless, is the big cheese in the underworld of climate change and is one of the main architects of the failing Kyoto Protocol. Full credit for the expose on the business partnership of Strong and Gore in the cap and trade reduction scheme should go to the investigated acumen of the Executive Intelligence Review, or the EIR. So that would be another place to go. Perhaps later I'll go there today and look it up. The Executive Intelligence Review. There's an expose apparently there. The tawdry tale of the top two global warming gurus in the business world goes all the way back to Earth Day of April the 17th of 1995, when the future author of An Inconvenient Truth, that would be Al Gore, right, traveled to Fall River, Massachusetts, to deliver a green sermon at the headquarters of Molten Metal Technology, Inc., MMTI. MMTI was a firm that proclaimed to have invented a process for recycling metals from waste. Gore praised the Molten Metal firm as a pioneer in the kind of innovative technology that can save the environment and to make money for investors at the same time. So this article just continues. I wonder if we should do it. Shall I? Shall I dare? Shall we continue? Let's see. What else do we got here in the news stack? What else do we have here in the news stack? Maybe we'll do a little bit more on that. I don't know. Let's see. I think I will. I'll go for a little while further here, and then we'll forego the other news and get into the more interesting information. Gore left a few facts out of his speech that day, wrote EIR. First, the firm was run by Strong and a group of Gore's intimates, including Peter Knight, the firm's registered lobbyist, and Gore's former top Senate aide. Fast forward to the present day and ask yourself why it is that every time someone picks up another Senate rock, another serpent comes slithering out, Judy Rice. Humorous, but most true. Well, it seems like we're up against a break. We'll be back in a few moments. Stay with us for more Gore News.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
Ah! Ah!
And we'll return again once more. And again, I'm not able to hear the bump music very well today, folks. So if I'm walking on top of it or breaking up, I do apologize. Nevertheless, let's finish out this article. I don't want to continue too much further with it. We have other things to talk about. The main idea here is that as I went through this article, and it's three pages in length. We've only covered the first page and the first couple of sentences of the second page. There's so much here. But the main thing is that we've got Al Gore, we've got Maurice Strong, and we've got Barry Usurper, all tied up in this idea of the global carbon credit scheme, which comes right out of Agenda 21. It's a long time drive. Joan Bion wrote about it years ago in her Global Straitjacket and her Prince Charles, the Sustainable Prince. If you haven't read those books, regardless of other things that you may think or not know about her, they're interesting books. They're very good. She's also got a thing called, I think it's Women's Group, womensgroup.org. You might just Google in Joan Bion, V-E-O-N, and Women's Group, and you can come up with more information. She does publish a newsletter. She does do some investment advising. I'm not plugging her, but I do appreciate the work that she's done, and hopefully she'll be at the G20, and we'll get a report back from her as well. So there's a lot more to this article. I'm going to let you go and find it. It's on Canada Free Press. It's a Judy McLeod, it's M-C-L-E-O-D article, and it's titled Obama's Involvement in Chicago Climate Exchange, the rest of the story. A very interesting article. Maybe later in the week we'll come back to it. I want to go back over here in the remaining 40 minutes or so of the broadcast and pick up just a little bit more from this book that I'm very nearly done. I've had a very busy weekend, but nevertheless, one of the things that I like to do is block out many hours of the weekends for reading, and I've almost now finished this Free to Choose, A Personal Statement by Milton and Rose Friedman. And again, I've had this book in my library for years, probably at least 5 or 6 years ago it was donated, but it was just in my to-read box, and I never got around to it. This is copyrighted 1980, and originally in 1979 by Milton Friedman and his wife Rose Friedman. And I'm going to look into seeing whether or not I can get his son, David, to come on the air and talk to us one day as well. I really like this book. The more I read it, the more I enjoy it. I like the style in which it was written. It's very open. He's not talking down to anybody. He's presenting complex terms and words that we can understand, and I think it's useful. The other day, talked about some of the things that we could be looking at, other ways that we can protect our savings, and I mentioned tobacco. And this is a little bit here that gives us an idea more about that. It's under a section titled Varieties of Money. And he starts it out this way. He says, an amazing variety of items have been used as money at one time or another. The word pecuniary comes from the Latin pecus, which means cattle, and one of the many things that have been used as money. Others include salt, milk, furs, dried fish, even feathers, and on the Pacific island of Yap, stones. Cowrie shells and beads have been the most widely used forms of primitive money. Metals, gold, silver, copper, iron, tin, have been the most widely used forms among more advanced economies before the victory of paper and the bookkeeper's pen. So paper and bookkeeper's pens have certainly had the triumph of these last 100 years. Continuing from his article here, actually not an article, a book, on page 250, the one thing all the items used as money have had in common is their acceptance. Acceptance is absolutely critical to money. Here's another part of it. In the particular place and time, in return for other goods and services, in the faith that others would likewise accept them. So on the one hand, you have acceptance being required. On the second hand, you have faith, full faith and credit. They have to be accepted in order to have any value as a medium of exchange, and people have to have faith that others will take them in exchange. Likewise, the wampum, quote-unquote wampum, that the early settlers of America used in trade with the Indians was a form of shell, analogous to the cowrie shells used in Africa and Asia. Most interesting and instructive money used in the American colonies was the tobacco money of Virginia. And last week I was talking about, you know, if you whether you smoke the stuff or don't smoke the stuff, you realize that the prices are going up always, more and more taxes being laid on tobacco. And for the people that enjoy having a smoke in the morning with their cup of coffee, if you happen to have a closet full of tobacco and coffee, you may be in a good position, even if gold and silver are somehow devalued by some large hand like the SPDR or the big spider on the web. Let's go into it a little further here. The tobacco money of Virginia, Maryland, and North Carolina. Here's a quote. The first law passed by the First General Assembly of Virginia in July the 31st of 1619, 12 years after Captain Smith landed and established at Jamestown the first permanent settlement in the New World, there's a little history lesson for you, was in reference to tobacco. The first law passed, reference to tobacco. It fixed the price of that staple at 3 shillings the best, and the second sort at 18 pennies, or the pound. Tobacco was already the local currency. So back in 1619 here on the North American continent in the little colony starting out of Virginia, tobacco was the local currency. At various periods, tobacco was declared the only legal currency. How many people knew that? It remained a basic money of Virginia and its neighboring colonies for close to 2 centuries until well after the American Revolution. I would say the American Revolution has never ended. On this minor point, I would disagree. I think that there was a war for independence, and we can mark that from the fires that the in Lexington all the way up to the surrender of Cornwallis's sword at Yorktown. That is the war for independence. But the American Revolution, this experience of the pursuit of happiness, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that has not ceased. Always going forward into the future, into greater and greater freedom and less tyranny and control by others. That is, in my opinion, the true American Revolution. But let's continue here. He says, it was the money that the colonists used to buy food, clothing, to pay taxes, and even to pay for a bride. Here's a quote. The Reverend Mr. Weems, a Virginian writer, intimates that it would have done a man's heart good to see the gallant young Virginians hastening to the waterside when a vessel arrived from London, each carrying a bundle of the best tobacco under his arm, and taking back with him a beautiful and virtuous young wife. So there you go. Got tobacco? Come home with a wife. And another writer, quoting this passage, goes on to remark, they must have been stalwart as well as gallant to hasten with a roll of tobacco weighing 100 to 150 pounds under their arms, and come home with a wife on the same arm. As money goes, so tobacco went. The original price set on it in terms of English money was higher than the cost of growing it, so the planters set to with a will and produced more and more. In this case, the money supply grew literally as well as figuratively. In other words, money didn't grow on trees, it grew on a tobacco plant, and it grows out of the ground with tobacco as money. As always happens, when the quantity of money increases more rapidly than the quantity of goods and services available for purchase, there was inflation. Now, this is the key. That's why I wanted to bring this out, because we're pointing at inflation. And we're looking at inflation for a very particular purpose in our discussions, because as we go further and further into the bury the usurper period here, we're going to see more and more inflation caused by the dumping of trillions and trillions of monies on the marketplace. Before the inflation ended, about half a century later, prices in terms of tobacco had risen 40-fold. The growers of tobacco were most unhappy about the inflation, and I think we would be unhappy about the inflation too, and I'm quite confident we're going to be unhappy about the inflation that's coming down the pike. We could jump forward in this book to page 264 and pick it up in this way. Inflation, here he goes, once again. Inflation, Mr. Friedman writes with his wife Rose, inflation is primarily a monetary phenomenon produced by a more rapid increase in the quantity of money than in output. We'll pick it up on the other side and find out more about inflation. Stay with us. We will be right back.
As America limps on its lost legs, a pillar of truth has risen. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Yeah.
Learn how to empower yourself and stop being a victim today.
You can practice complete banking secrecy, all while protecting your money and maintaining complete control over your finances.
The book Privacy Crisis has nearly 400 carefully researched pages that will teach you how to
live beneath the radar, escape stalkers, outwit identity thieves, prevent government phone tapping, stop criminals from hacking into your computer, make your money and assets invisible, stop wage garnishments, get a permanent driver's license, and much, much more.
You can sign up for Grant Hall's free info series at privacycrisis.com. Each course outlines powerful and proven strategies from one of the world's top privacy experts.
Here's your chance to begin learning what the pros know at privacycrisis.com. That website again is privacycrisis.com.
Hi folks, Doug Owen here for TexasTeamSpeak.com, one of the world's largest authorized TeamSpeak host providers on the net. TeamSpeak is a voice over IP teleconferencing solution that consists of both client and server-side software. The TeamSpeak server acts as a host to multiple client connections capable of handling literally thousands of simultaneous users and works in a variety of applications, such as teammates speaking with one another while playing their favorite online video game, small businesses cutting costs on long-distance charges, or for personal communication with friends and family. With TeamSpeak, you can easily stay connected with your fellow group members or start a special group to invite others to join. Whether you seek a private communication medium or would prefer to host a server open to the public, TeamSpeak is an ideal solution to help communicate your interests with others online. When a word is worth 1,000 keystrokes, use TexasTeamSpeak.com.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home for the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we have returned once again, and the call-in numbers remain 512-904-8014 for those with unlimited long distance or just want to make the toll call. And from around America and around the world, you can call in at 866-841, and we'll try and get you right up on air. Going back to our article here, it's not an article. Why do I keep saying that? The book, Free to Choose, a personal statement by Milton and Rose Friedman. Very, very prominent, well-known economists and very clear and excellent writers, too, I might say. If you haven't a copy of this book in your library, you might want to add it to it or just go to the library, check it out. Maybe it's available on the web as a e-book or a download. Nevertheless, interesting book. And from this section here on page 264, we're going to continue. The behavior of the quantity of money is the senior partner of output, the junior partner. So we have output in the society, that's your unemployment figures, that's your gross domestic product and all of that, and that's the junior partner, and money is the senior partner in this economic deal, this monetary phenomenon. Many phenomena can produce temporary fluctuations in the rate of inflation. We saw that this morning on the gold charts on Kitco, www.kitco.com. You can go on the website, click on the right, look at the gold charts, enlarge it, and you'll see what I'm talking about. There was a very definite move into the markets, a dramatic drop, a $10, $15, almost $20 drop in gold. It traded for about an hour, then all of a sudden somebody bought and went right back up to where it was before. So somebody just came in, evaporated some money out of there and called it a day, went on with their business. Those are the kind of things that are only available if you're dealing in gold and silver products on the internet in an exchange-traded fund. You wouldn't be able to pull that off with your local broker. Anyway, going back into this again, He says here that the proposition that inflation is a monetary phenomena is important, yet it's only the beginning of an answer to the causes and the cures of inflation. It is important because it guides the search for basic causes and limits possible cures. But it's only the beginning of an answer because the deeper question is why excessive monetary growth occurs. And as you know, for those of you who have listened to this broadcast here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network or any of the Become Vocal Local broadcasts I do on a regular basis on other networks or have in the past, you know that what I'm talking about here is basically analyzing, correctly diagnosing, and isolating the disease so that we can concentrate and focus our attention where it will be most appropriate and effective, which is curing the disease, the super social disease that so certainly besets our nation and the globe. And if we can get rid of the disease, then all of the various and sundry symptoms and victims will simply go away. They'll be self-healing. And so I found it very, very enjoyable or revealing or informative to see that this very well-known and respected economist is going down the same trail. This is like a second witness for those people who've ever read anything of the Bible and understand that. But a second witness here from a renowned economist that we need to isolate and correctly identify and isolate these various diseases. And he even gives medical analogies for this. So let's continue and find out more about it. Again, he's looking at the deeper questions. Why excessive monetary growth occurs? Whatever was true for tobacco money or money linked to silver and gold with today's paper money, excessive monetary growth and hence inflation is produced by governments. You see, by governments. And who are the governments? Of course, the established two-party political system are the government. There's very few of anyone anywhere in government that is not a party member of one of the Socialist Party A or Socialist Party B controlled opposition camp of the divided and established two-party political system. So the excessive monetary growth, hence inflation, is produced by governments. And if you want to cure inflation, you're going to need to cure the government, because if it's produced by the government, then inflation is another one of the symptoms of this super social disease. But let's continue. In the United States, the accelerated monetary growth during the past 15 or so years has occurred for three related reasons. Now, here they are, three, one, two, three. You can put them out as bullet points on your notepad if you desire. First, the rapid growth in government spending. Have we not seen an incredible explosion, rapid growth in government spending in the last 120 days? We can anticipate then that we're going to see substantial inflation. Here's two. Number two, the government's full employment policy. Now you know that it's impossible. Full employment is not going to come at the government hand. Only free market can respond and find full employment. And you have to ask yourself, if you know anything about economics, is full employment even attainable or is it desirable? But if you're going to try and cure inflation, you need to address full employment. But so the government comes up with full employment policies. And of course, Barry the usurper is talking about creating 3.5 million jobs while at the same time we have record unemployment. But we'll find out more about that. Here's the third. So we have one, two, and three. Here's three. A mistaken policy pursued by the Federal Reserve System. So the Federal Reserve System pursuing mistaken policies is traditional, historical, verifiable, trackable. You can see where they've done it numerous times. Whether there was intention behind their mistakes or not, nevertheless. But the end the Fed chanting at the Campaign for Liberty rallies, the end the Fed chant standing in front of the Federal Reserve Bank, that only addresses one third of the problem. It's only one, it's only point number three out of this threefold system. So let's go into it a little bit further here. They continues and they say, however, taxing and borrowing from the public are politically unattractive ways to finance additional government spending. taxing and borrowing from the public are politically unattractive ways to finance additional government spending. So what they do instead is they just print it into existence. They loan it into existence, so we can find out more about that. He's going through various ways that this increase in money can happen. Here's another one. The only other way to finance high government spending is by increasing the quantity of money, and of course that's what we're seeing now. Then he continues, and here's something that I disagree with, so I'm just going to drop down. He does say in this book that the Federal Reserve System, hyphen, another branch of the government, period, at the end of a sentence, and I don't agree, and I'm confident that if you were to sit down and talked with him, he would either admit it or come quickly to understand that the Federal Reserve System is not a branch of the government, it's private. But he knows that, I'm sure. Very brilliant man. Here's a second source of high monetary growth. You can print it, or you can do this one. Here's a second source. In the United States, in recent years, has been the attempt to produce full employment. Full employment. In a dynamic world in which new products emerge and old ones disappear, demand shifts from one product to another, innovation alters methods of production, and so on, without end. And it is desirable to have a good deal of labor mobility. And so this was a little bit further into the article where he's basically refuting the idea of full employment. But notice in this, it says in a dynamic world, demand shifts from one product to another. And we spent days on demand on this and other broadcasts. Demand is that one word that you can reduce sustainable development down to one concept, and that is demand, even as our article here from the SDS, the Sustainable Development, or the SDC, the Sustainable Development Commission, was talking about. We have to change this demand-based economy. Demand, critical word when we're in all of this. Under all of these circumstances, what average number of persons employed corresponds to full employment? So he's given a kind of a synopsis of employment, and I'll spare you all the bloody details here. But he asks a very important question. Under all these various circumstances in a dynamic world, what average number of persons employed corresponds to, quote-unquote, full employment? See, it's so easy for the analysts, and it's so easy for government, and it's so easy for the news to throw around a phrase like full employment. But unless they get into it and study it a bit, it becomes one of those elusive chimeras that can never be realized. Basically, because the socialists are always reaching for this utopian thing that never happens. People will be out of work. Some people don't want to work. Some people only work for a little while until they have enough shekels in their pocket to buy food and whatever and smokes for a week, and they quit their job. Then they look for another piece of work later when they need more money to deal with the system. So, there's much involved in all of that. Let's jump it back and forth into it a little bit deeper. The result is to impart a bias to government policy in the direction of adopting unduly ambitious targets of full employment. So that's their target, you see. They hold it up as something that they can do, but they don't. The relation to inflation is twofold. Now here's a couple more bullet points. First, government spending can... Well, there's a break. I guess we'll be back on the other side and find out what the government is going to spend their money on next. We'll be back. Stay with us.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Howdy.
My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
Okay, and we are back once again going through this little personal statement here, Free to Choose, Milton and Rose Friedman's book. Very interesting section here. They're talking about inflation, and they're looking at inflation as being the big disease. And certainly inflation from an economist standpoint and from all things economic, inflation is a dreadful, horrible, cancerous disease that has the potential of destroying not only our country, but countries around the world. So it's exceedingly important to pay attention to this concept and get it fully wrapped, you know, get your mind wrapped around this idea of inflation. What are the causes? What are the effects? What's the upside potential? What's the downside potential? Why do people support inflation? Why do they oppose it? Who benefits? Cui bono? All of that. So there's a lot to it. And I like to hope that on these broadcasts we can arm ourselves with the kind of information that's necessary to be able to cut through the claptrap down at the city hall or your county commissioner's meeting, or at the school board meetings and stuff like that, and cut to the chase, get to the serious questions, and peg these jaspers to the wall. If we're going to affect real change on a local level, we're going to need to know more about the issues than they do. And certainly they, that nefarious they, you fill in the blank, you know who they are locally, they get most of their information from the sustainable development mercenaries and the facilitators. They get their information from union reps and stuff like that, and have very limited interest in the overall picture and less knowledge of that than most of you. So we're continuing in here. We're talking a little bit about inflation today in the advance of the G20 meeting, which will be dealing with inflation as well. A very important topic. Here we go, continuing. So we talked about the inflation to relation, the relation to inflation being twofold, where first, government spending can be represented as adding to employment, government taxes as adding to unemployment by reducing private spending. So when we take money out of the system through taxation, it has the undesirable consequence of increasing unemployment. Hence, he continues, the full employment policy reinforces the tendency for government to increase spending and lower taxes and to finance any resulting deficit by increasing the quantity of money rather than by taxes or by borrowing from the public. So the worst thing Johnny Representative wants to do is to have his name associated with any tax increase bills. And so they always talk about reducing taxation. But if you cannot reduce taxation until you reduce spending, and government, especially socialist government, refuses to shut off the trough, close the trough, and get all of the little piggies out of the trough, and so they have to come up with money from someplace else. And what they do is they loan new money into existence, which then causes the inflation that they didn't want to, you know, deal with otherwise. They didn't want to admit to it. But government actually just simply causes the inflation. Here we go. Here's the second point. The Federal Reserve System can increase the quantity of money in ways other than financing government spending. It can do so by buying outstanding government bonds, and we're hearing about that now, paying for them with newly created high-powered money. So they loan money into existence then to buy their bonds. That enables the banks to make a larger volume of private loans. And haven't you been hearing about how we're going to have Wall Street down to Main Street? We're going to need to make it possible for people to borrow more money? Well, all this happened back in the Reagan administration. All this happened back with Paul Volcker before. But because a lot of the people that listen to the broadcast may be younger than that, weren't privy to going through that. And the master blasters and the men behind the curtain, they use this to their advantage. Like they say, if you don't know your history, then you're doomed to repeat it. And they just keep rolling it out over and over again, as I like to say, like a small-town high school coach who only knows one play right up the middle for 3 yards and damn the consequences. So they roll this stuff out on us and at us over and over and over again. But anyway, this enables the banks to make a larger volume of private loans, which can also be represented as adding to employment. So the unemployment figures take all of this into account. Under pressure to promote full employment, the Fed's monetary policy has had the same inflationary bias as the government's fiscal policy. So both of these two departments are only part of the problem. They're not part of the solution. These policies, Friedman writes, have not succeeded in producing full employment, but they have produced inflation. Now remember, this book was written some 28 years ago. And so, as it was then, so it is today. It's the same sort of stuff. As Prime Minister, British Prime Minister James Callaghan put it in a courageous talk to British Labour Party in a conference in September of 1976, here's the quote, "We used to think that you could just spend your way out of a recession and increase employment by cutting taxes and boosting government spending. I tell you, in all candor, that option no longer exists. And that insofar as it ever did exist, it only worked by injecting bigger doses of inflation into the economy, followed by higher levels of unemployment as the next step. That is the history of the past 20 years, close quote. And of course, as you've heard me say many times, the whole Keynesian idiocy, this idea of being able to spend or borrow your way into prosperity, is a cancer that it goes from one end of the economic structure of America and around the world to the other. And even as this British Labour Party conference member here, Prime Minister James Callaghan, puts it, the idea that you can actually spend your way out of recession and increase the employment by cutting taxes and boosting government spending is an option that cannot exist, and that what happens basically is that you just simply have to inject more and more money into the system, and that is the avenue that Ben Bernanke and Timothy Geithner are following now. Here's the third step. The third source of higher monetary growth in the United States in the recent years, again, this is 1980s, has been a mistaken policy by the Federal Reserve System. Of course, they have many mistaken policies. As Aristotle said, such as you begin badly, you cannot help but to end badly. And the whole idea of creating the Federal Reserve in the first place and charging ourselves to create something that we're most certainly capable of charging for ourselves and then lending it to us with interest is a bad idea to start with. But such as they begin badly, they cannot help but to end badly. So mistaken monetary policy is one of the third problems, the third sources of higher monetary growth. Not only has the Fed's policies in the 80s had an inflationary bias because of pressures to promote full employment, but that bias has been exacerbated by its attempt to pursue two incompatible objectives, and here they are. The Federal Reserve has the power to control the quantity of money, and it gives lip service to that objective. But, like Demetrius in Shakespeare's A Midsummer Night's Dream, who shuns Helena, who is in love with him, to pursue Hermia, who loves another, the Fed has given its heart not to controlling the quantity of money, but to controlling interest rates, something that it does not have the power to do. So even though the Federal Reserve ostensibly was established to control the quantity of money, they were not given the authority then at the institution, or perhaps even now, to control interest rates, but they are setting interest rates. And the result of this misplaced energy, this mistake, this federal mistaken policy by the Federal Reserve, the result here has been failure on both fronts, both wide swings in money and interest rates. And these swings, too, have had an inflationary bias, and so on. And it just continues. So we can see that there's much to do about inflation and things that we need to learn. And certainly I'm learning right along with you as we go through these various and sundry sources. I had hoped to get over to commercial banking. Perhaps tomorrow we'll be able to go into commercial paper a little bit. But there's basically two elements of credit in the business world, and they arise from two fundamental causes. One, the fact that the merchant and the manufacturer can profitably use more capital than they possess and can make money by borrowing it. And two, if the time of the payment is postponed, the buyer can actually turn goods into money before the agreed time of the payment arrives. And so that then makes the beginning point in a study of commercial paper. And so on this broadcast, we have from time to time talked a lot, or maybe even all of the 2 hours, about finances and financial things. But keep in mind that these are just symptoms inside of a super social disease in our country. That if there was the political will in Congress to actually affect change and not just simply provide lip service to the false constituency, the independent voter who has absolutely nothing to do with political parties, truly none at all. The political parties do not represent we the people. The political parties have, since the early 1700s, even in England as in America, represented the parties, not the people. And if we want to have any change, we're going to have to abolish the established two-party political system. Folks, have a wonderful day. Thank you for listening. Until tomorrow, good day.
You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail. It is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
You are now listening to Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.